Tony, we're very pleased that you're able to be with us today. And now's an opportunity for you to give us some words of wisdom.
Thank you.
Was that a fight in Brotherhood or a commercial?
An actor called David
Cochrane. Oh, right. Well, it raises the fiddle easy, doesn't it? We're going to be disconnected from the readings today. If it had time, I'd done the Evan. It's a theme I really would like to have a crack at. So it's going to be completely disconnected. The theme is what happens if you pray, and what happens if you don't. And I'm going to play five different characters of different standings, and some not so good, some a bit better. So I'll tell you who I am, and then you'll try and follow the theme. Obviously, there's going to be a fair amount of, shall we say, filling in the gaps. I am Adam. One day, a snake pointed out the best fruit on the forbidden tree and conned Eve into thinking she would die and that her eyes would be opened. Did Eve pray, "Lead me not into temptation"? She gave me the same, and because Eve hadn't fallen down dead, as we would have expected, but looked sparkier than ever, so I had a bite. It looked good. It tasted even better. But my word, it didn't do us a lot of good. Did I pray, "Lead me not into temptation"? Fact is that neither of us prayed at that time. We would have said our prayers before, maybe we'd said them that morning. But unless you pray without stopping, every waking moment, you can fall into any trap at any time, even if you get it right the rest of the time. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love, and I didn't love God as I should. But I had a feeling of doom not long after my eyes were open, like the serpent said, and I couldn't bear to let my wife see me without my clothes on. She felt likewise. So we found what plants we could. They were fig leaves. We sewed clothes together, or she did, and hid our bodies from each other and tried to hide from God. Did we pray, "Father, forgive us our sins"? No. Of course God found us and asked us what we were up to. Did we say, "I have sinned, Father, please forgive us"? No, we didn't. What I did was blame my wife, and she blamed the snake. And the punishment was severe. But there was given us some hope, but I didn't know it right then. This is what I was told. All the many other trees that were plenty good enough for me, they'd be taken away, because I didn't think they were good enough. Instead, I would go out amongst the thistles and dig out what I could eat before I died. I am now 930 years old, and that's plenty enough time, long enough time in anybody's lifetime, to digging the earth with limited success, and I'm relieved that it's all over now. Eve also got a raw deal. I was left in charge simply because I blamed her for what went wrong. God said, "You blame her, you sort it." And yet amazingly, Eve would want me, despite the fact that I insulted her, and that every time she bore children, she She suffered 40 weeks of morning sickness, followed by, in the end, by a pain that I find hard to imagine. And all this happened because I wanted what I shouldn't have. And then I took it. Now even then, God is our loving Heavenly Father, and He showed Eve the way. And He promised an offspring through Jesus, who would in the end, after much pain caused by my wife and myself, crush evil and bring hope. But we were kicked out of the lovely garden and barred at the gate by cherubim from going back to have an easy way back to life. And now we had to wait. And long after we died. We want things, but we have nothing worthwhile. We kill, we lust, we fight, we war to get what we want. But we get nothing worthwhile because we don't ask. And when we do ask, we get nothing, because our prayers are not. God's will be done. God's is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Now in time I gave my wife the name Eve, and this is in faith, because she is the mother of all living, and by that, I mean Jesus. I sat and reflected on my punishment, and the promise of the Saviour through my wife, and prayed that God would bring about what He had promised, and I pinned my hope on Jesus. At the moment I confessed that Eve was the mother of all living, God killed a lamb in front of my eyes and skinned it and covered us. We confessed our Saviour, He covered our sins. The pain of our sins was not taken away, so that we should learn to trust our Lord our God and not in ourselves. I am Eve. I cleave to my man Adam, and I bore my first son Cain. I didn't pray at the time, and I assumed that Cain was my gift from the Lord as promised, because I had the promise of the Saviour, and I assumed this was it. How wrong I was. I never thought anything at all about my second son Abel, but it turned out that Abel loved God, that Cain was a spoiled brat and a rotter, and who killed Abel for no good reason but envy. The seed of the promise that God had given us clearly couldn't come through Cain, as I had assumed. And rightfully Abel was bumped off in his pride before he could produce children leading to Jesus. So I prayed again, and I cleaved to my man again. And I named my third son Seth, for God has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Even then I had to wait. It was only when my grandson Enos arrived that we started calling on God. It took three girls to learn that I cannot take what is mine to take, that I cannot trust in what I have, but that in prayer and supplication I would take part in salvation. It was fully 105 years before my grandson was born, and it was only then that we started calling on God. 100 odd years in the wilderness after his first sin, ignoring the God who promised us Jesus. I am Cain. I don't like being told what to do. I don't like being told how to put it right, and even less do I like seeing my smug brother getting all the glory, so I was jealous and I killed him. So God talked with me and handed out the punishment. Exile, that's not fair. I told God that so, and it was ridiculous, and you know what, he relented. I did very well out of it. I still went out east, like he said, where God is not, and out of God's eyes, but with guaranteed immunity from revenge. It was me who got the city, not the thistles. It was me who got the rich farmer, the fine musicians, the men who could do high tech in every industry, and the beautiful daughters. God's lot, you see, they got the sittles. Now in the end, Seth's lot thought, if you can't beat Birkhead's lot, you might as well join them. Because God does nothing for them. Why worship God? Brings no good, only trouble and thistles. So Seth's lot married my beautiful daughters and became like us, godless, rich, and violent. I am Lamech, a descendant of righteous Enoch who walked with God. Cain's lot with their beautiful daughters, the modern family, and the beautiful music and the brilliant gadgets of all sorts, they're laughing at us while we build our pathetic altars to God. That God who does Cain's lot all the favours while making things ever harder for us believers. It's no surprise there are not many of us left now. Furthermore, these thistles are getting harder to deal with, and on top of all of that, there is a drought. Please, God, give us relief from the violence, the hardship, and the mocking. My prayer was answered. It came in the form of Noah, who walked with God like Enoch did. By walking with God, it means that he was intimately connected to God in all his ways and all his thinking. And Noah will give us that comfort from the work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which God has cursed. If ever give us this day our daily bread had meaning, it is now. Even then I had to wait. I was 182 when Noah was born. I was 662 when God talked to my son Noah. Got him to build that great floating thing in the middle of dry land over a period of 120 years to the ridicule of his neighbours, his family, all 8 of them had to take on the world's mocking. I'd had enough, and the God kindly released me before those dreadful last few years before the promised flood. It taken me out of all the trouble, unlike my father Methuselah. I learned from the example of my ancestor Enoch, who was also taken out early. I prayed that he would take me out before the worst was to come. But it seems like that now. I am Abraham. This is my last example, but also the longest. I was out east, just like Cain, where God is not, at the yon end of the Mesopotamian Fertile Crescent, a land of much water, prosperity, and bricks. I lost my kid brother Haran early in that place, so I took his son Lot under my wings. God called me, even though I didn't know him at the time. I was actually going back towards Eden, the area of Haran is known as Beth Eden, with our large family, minus Haran of course. So we trekked up the Euphrates and got into the more temperate climate around Eden. But we were supposed to go to Canaan. Where's that, I thought? When I got to Eden, went up this beautiful city, beautiful valley, plenty of water, nice climate, and being high up, a super place in the Middle East. And we built us a city there, and we called it in the honour of that, of my kid brother Haran. Can you imagine it? We'd got back to the land of Eden, far more comfortable place than there ever was. Can you imagine then what it felt like? Here we were, in Eden, in the garden of the Lord, and God tells me to go out of it, to who knows where, to leave my family, the prosperity. Somehow, my dear nephew Lot came with me, because God puts it into his heart also to join me. We went down south. We found the frightening and fearsome folk with giants and the Canaanites. And God told me that this place was where Jesus was going to happen. Just as Eve was the mother of all living, I was the father of all living. And I built altars to worship and call on God. Prayer was part of my living. A part of the worship was to pick a place and sacrifice the best of my flock, like Abel did before me, and to worship and to pray. I had put my trust in God, be prepared to leave the wonderful land, which I call Eden, Haran, where we were, to go who knows where, but led by the good hand of God. And yet, even then, I forgot God in the fear of my life. Why is it that us humans are so inconsistent? Feats of faith at one time, and pathetic surrender at others. When I came into the presence of foreign kings, I knew that power was granted to the powerful by taking his enemy's wife. Now Sarah was beautiful despite her great age, and the foreign king would surely covet and want to take my wife. And to do that, of course, he'd have to kill me. Did I pray about this potential calamity? No, I didn't. What I did, in fact, was work out a plan which involved a half-truth. And of course, a half-truth is still a half-lie, but somehow, everyone feels better by telling half-truths than by telling a black lie. So I passed off my half-sister wife, the good Christadelphian term, of course, and I lived. Do you know who God punished? Same old travesty of justice as back in Cain's time. He didn't punish the sinner, which was me. He punished Pharaoh. Did I pray? No, I didn't. I was just thankful to God that I'd got clean away with it. Why is it that God sometimes blesses sinners more for their sin than when they do right? Can't work that one out. What I know is that God sometimes sets traps for the unwary to try all that is in their heart. We should pray, lead us not into temptation. The fact is that temptations are always there. And even if they aren't there, we can always make them happen, often we want to. So we should pray at all times that when they do come, we'll be delivered from evil. I should have reflected in prayer, in thankfulness, that God, when I made a mess of things, was very kind to me. And I might not be so lucky or well blessed next time. Did I? Again, I was wandering off the hills of the promised land and spying out this time the outer reaches of the inheritance for my sake, regardless of that. Now, before this, I had at least felt safe in the land of Canaan with my beautiful wife, not so safe in Egypt, and not so safe amongst the Philistines. I also knew that the word of God was far stronger where I came from than where I was going. Well, that's what I thought, because we always like to think the word of God is with us and with nobody else. Same situation again, beautiful wife, foreign king, danger. Now in Egypt I'd worked out my own salvation with fear and trembling. But forgetting it's God that works with us to will and to do. I travelled before foreign kings, but not my God, as we say. So, I told to stay alive because I got away with it last time. And worse than that, I was arrogant. I didn't believe that God was in this Gaza Strip, or in their king, Abimelech. Who got punished? Not me. He did. As if to say lessons could never be learned, Isaac was in exactly the same situation, the same king, passing off his wife Rebecca, who was by this time a cousin. So it was even more of a lie than the one I told. Didn't make it any worse though. The only thing that Isaac did worse than me was he should have learned a lesson from himself. Twice I did it, and he was at it again. And we all got clean away with it. Doesn't seem fair, does it? Be careful for nothing, that is. Don't try to solve anything on your own. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Anyway, these crises passed, my nephew Lot and myself had gotten really rich in the land of Canaan, and it brought its own problems. Lot and myself and the Canaanites were all trying to pasture flocks in a small land area, and they were squabbling. And this time, I do remember how the Lord had blessed me and had taken me out of prosperity and given me it all back again and brought me safely thus far. So I put it to God and he said, let Lot choose out what he wants, and you take the rest. Whatever is right, you will get. Whatever is right, I will give you. Understanding that he chose the green pastures and the well-watered valley. But it was in the east, where God is not. And I got the rocks. And I got the giants. And I got the Canaanites. He got a land like the Nile Delta, the Euphrates Delta, and the Garden of Eden, all of which were well-watered. And what had I got? These barren, horrible rocks. But because I chose God's way, he blessed me again for generations to come. Now Sarah had asked God in prayer for a surrogate son before it was too late, because her womb was now useless. She passed the menopause, and I, being 86, wasn't quite as fertile as I was. Beware what you ask for. But of course, I love my son Ishmael, as all fathers do, even though he despised the promised seed, Isaac. God too is very kind and disobedient. But Sarah saw Ishmael mock Isaac and knew it was God's will to protect the tender, gentle Isaac. My natural instinct was not God's. I thought I knew what was right. It took my wife, who had it right in God's eyes, to put me right. She nagged, and I didn't listen. So God it was who put me straight. How often does God protect us from doing the wrong thing when we don't ask him by finding an agent, like in this case Sarah, my wife, to put us on the straight and narrow? But would God, as I would ask him more often, rather than trusting in my own judgment? Anyhow, I was left with the miraculous son, the seed of Christ, Sarah, the rocks, a land that wasn't my own, and I had to buy my own plot of land, where my family were named, all three plus their wives, to rise at the resurrection and see Jesus, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, and most certainly not Allah, the God of Ishmael. God presented me with a dilemma. Kill the one seed that I've given you, that leads to Christ, knowing full well that Sarah and I had absolutely no chance of replacing him. So what was I to do? Crazy idea, it seems. So I searched the word of God that was in my heart and thought on all that had happened from the promise to Eve and all that hitherto had led to Jesus and furthermore that it was going to happen to me. So I thought, well, the idea is barmy, but maybe God's got a plan I know not of. Could it be that Isaac will ride once again, once I've killed him? Could it be that I won't have to go through with it? Or maybe that Christ wasn't going to be through Isaac, but through Melchizedek? Who knows? Whom I broke bread with? I was confused beyond measure. But I put my trust in God, did what he said. But there was a problem, what to do with my servants, what to do with Isaac. I kept it from all of them. Should I have done? Although I was prayerful over this whole sacrifice thing, in this instance I trusted my own judgment on the matter of hiding the truth, and that might not have been the right thing to do. Think about it. Jesus would know exactly what he was doing when he would be offered up. So why hide it from Isaac? All the world is meant to see the crucified Jesus, look on him and be healed. So why didn't I let my men witness it? So in all my acts of faith over Isaac, I still trusted in myself at times. We are a mixture, part faithful, part prayerful. Part wanted to go to love. The Lord is very kind to us. And he lets us make plenty of mistakes and sometimes sets traps for us to try all this in our heart. We should always be on our guard through prayer. For who knows when our adversary the devil is prowling around, ready to pounce and ready to make us make the wrong move. When we have hard choices to make, we should simply talk to God and keep talking and let him choose out the way for us. And above all, because we need the Father's forgiveness, we should show the same understanding to our fellows.